He had a white shirt on, just covered with blood. And the action was so fast, a lot of breaking of glass. And, of course, I was stunned and ducking and everything else at the same time. And when I came up, this Piers Anderson and myself, we just looked down, and there he was. And
he was on the floor at this point.
He was lying right on the floor, and then the ruckus with the assailant took place, and I watched that. And then it was back up, hurry up, and, you know, confusion, confusion, confusion.
Well, Ray, this happened then not in the embassy room itself,
oh, no.
But outside.
No, you see, there's
in a
kitchen.
Corridor.
In a kitchen corridor, a concrete floor kitchen corridor, which is about 12 feet wide. Long, very narrow, very long, almost the length out of the ballroom. And a lot of glass was sitting on trays, you see, so that was broken. And just lying there in the concrete floor, and his eyes would open. He was hit right in the head. And then it seemed like hours, but I know it was only a couple of minutes. Somebody said, get a doctor, get a doctor. And then, of course, they ushered in one guy who said he was a doctor, and it turned out he wasn't or something. And then they finally got a doctor in there to him. And then immediately the next thing I thought of was, well, is he dead or is he alive? You know, and I asked, I hate to mention the other fellow from the other network, Piers Anderson, but I asked him, and he didn't know. So I thought, well, I've got to report this. So I ran back to the broadcast booth, which was in back of the podium again, and then on the other side of the ballroom. And then it hit me. It just hit me. And the anchorman sitting there put me on the air, and maybe he shouldn't have, maybe he should have, but I just couldn't hold it back, because I remember Dallas and how it affected me, and Kennedy was, you know, he's such a beautiful man anyway. And
so you left Senator Kennedy then in this concrete
right
corridor
there,
in the kitchen.
By that time, they were pushing everyone back by that time anyway. And I remember the fellow, one of the movie actors, it was such a beautiful evening. The women were dressed in their finest clothes, and there were movie actors and big personalities, and it was such a gala, beautiful evening, and then it just turned so fast. And the fellow that used to play Bat Masterson, I think it was Gene Barry or one of these movie stars, he came over, and he, while I was sitting there after I'd given the report, and he kept asking me questions, and I just couldn't open up. It was just too much.
Ray McMacken, thank you very much for that report from the scene of the shooting at the Ambassador Hotel here in Los Angeles. Bob Ferris of station KNX was also there, and he saw the scuffle with the assailant. And Bob, I wonder if you could perhaps explain what happened there.
I'd been covering another of our local candidates, too, Dr. Max Rafferty, who was in another room. Somebody shouted down the hall, Kennedy's been shot, and I immediately grabbed my tape recorder and ran for the corridor, which comes out of the embassy room. I had just arrived there when Roosevelt Greer, Rayford Johnson, and a chap by the name, I believe, of John Hovey, came rushing out of the embassy room. They were carrying a very slightly built young man with bushy hair, a swarthy-looking individual, and he was cowering between these three big men. And as they went along, somehow two Los Angeles policemen with sawed-off shotguns appeared, and they sort of flanked this entourage that was pushing its way through a crowd, and this crowd was shouting, lynch him, kill him, and was trying actually to break into the cordon. And Greer and Johnson and the other gentlemen were trying to fend the crowd off, and the policemen were not actually pointing their guns at the crowd, but were sort of pushing the crowd away with the sawed-off shotguns. They ran down the length of the ambassador lobby and carried the suspect down the stairs and out the front door, or out the side door, I should say, of the ambassador, and took him down to the Rampart Police Division station. Later, I talked to this one chap, John Hovey, and he said that what had actually happened was that Roosevelt Greer, after the shots had been fired, he did not know whether the chap had was through firing or not. The suspect was standing up on a table when he fired the shots, but Greer actually placed his body between the assailant and Kennedy, who by that time had fallen to the floor, and then when he discovered that he grappled with the assailant, grabbed the gun, which was apparently a snub-nosed Colt-type revolver, grabbed it away from him, handed it to Rafer Johnson, then bodily lifted the assailant down off the table or whatever he was on there, threw him to the floor, and then was the time that Johnson and Greer and this other gentleman picked him up and started rushing him out of the hotel.
Did the assailant say anything?
Yes, he did. According to this John Hovind, and I believe that is a proper name, the assailant was shouting something about police brutality, you're hurting me, or something of that nature, but he did not say anything, as he was alleged to have said, about I did this to save our country. He was just apparently saying that he was being mistreated.
Did you follow them out of the hotel and to the police precinct?
No, I had no chance, because by that time they had decided that nobody was to go out of the hotel. So I went to the front door, saw them put him in an unmarked car and take him away, but I was not allowed to get out of the hotel.
Well, Bob Ferris, thank you very much for that report. Neil, I think now we'll toss it back to you in New York.
And the latest report on the condition of Senator Robert Kennedy is that a team of neurosurgeons is shortly to operate to remove a bullet from his brain that is lodged about the midline of the skull. He suffered a second wound, a shoulder wound, that is described as superficial, but his overall condition, his new secretary, Frank Mankiewicz, told us just moments ago, is very critical. I think it's time at this point to pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the CBS Radio Network.